Let's just do a brief review of the Ketubah, and then I will elaborate. This Ketubah is the signing of the marriage contract, often under a huppah, but not necessarily, and it declares or details the obligations of the groom to the bride, among which are food, clothing, and marital relations, and it is a legally binding document, often written as a beautiful manuscript that is framed and displayed. Under the huppah, it's traditional to read the signed ketubah aloud. Now, this is the agreement, the prenuptial agreement, I guess you would call it, but it's the ketubah. And the ketubah that Yeshua, the bridegroom, as John the Baptist called him, made with Israel is the Ten Commandments. That was his agreement. And he took them out of the house of bondage and out of the house of Egypt. And in the Ten Commandments, he outlined the requirements that the husband has for his wife. And the book of Hosea illustrates this, that God married, was engaged through a contract on Mount Sinai under Moses, under the Ten Commandments. And Israel was an unfaithful bride, consistently unfaithful. Now, the ceremony, the bride has to agree, and the bride and the groom often take and sip from a cup of wine. I believe that this is significant of Yeshua buying his bride in his blood on Passover and delivering her, taking the cup, giving the ketubah, the wedding contract, the Ten Commandments. And then he covers the bride. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Veils among Jewish and Christian tradition are often a symbol of propriety and modesty. There is, after, when the wedding ceremony, the final ceremony, is to take place under the chuppah, and we'll discuss the chuppah in a little bit, it is customary, it is a ceremony called a bedekin, or bedekun, and bedekin literally means covering. It is a ceremony where the groom veils the bride in a Jewish wedding. Just prior to the actual wedding ceremony, which takes place under the chuppah, and the chuppah is a piece of material with four posts or whatever, it's symbolic really of a tent or a covering also. The bridegroom accompanies, and it symbolizes beginning to keep house together. The bridegroom, accompanied by his parents, rabbi, and other dignitaries, amidst the joyous singing of friends, covers the bride's face with a veil. At this point, it's traditional for the rabbi to pronounce a blessing. And the bride wears this veil until the conclusion of the chuppah ceremony. It is symbolic of modesty, based on the verse in connection with the rabbi meeting Isaac. She then took her veil and covered herself. And this practice of the groom and covering the veil comes when Jacob married Leah by accident because her face was veiled when he really wanted to marry Rachel. Some maintain that the bodekin ceremony is the meaning of the term chuppah, which means covering, and thus has legal ramifications. But let me suggest, just by insight, that the veiling symbolizes the covering of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Pesach was the wine, and the ketubah were the Ten Commandments by Moses, the contract. God said, this is what you need to do to show that you are my people, and this is my sign for you to keep the Sabbath, and so on. And Jesus poured out his blood. It was the drinking of the blood, the life between the bride and the bridegroom. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in which the bride began to prepare herself according to the ketubah commands. To remove the leaven means to keep the commandments. And then following is the ceremony of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in which the Holy Spirit comes and covers the bride with his holiness. And let me give you some scriptures regarding that fulfillment. In Ezekiel 36, 20, well, let's look a little bit up here or higher. 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Okay, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the washing. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. Ezekiel 36, 22 through 29. All right, this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A putting on of the veil, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit, enabling. We can't do this. God has to do this for us. He made a way. We have to do it His way. That makes Him God. Completely, totally God. Here in Hebrews 10, 15. Now, let me suggest that this particular scripture has to do with the veiling that comes in the fall feast. That this is part of the preparation. Hebrews 10, 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till he made his enemies or made his footstool. Rosh Hashanah, the king is coming. The beginning of the new year. The beginning of all things becoming made new. New heavens, new earth. The 10 days of awe, the judging of the nations. Yom Kippur, where God, the Lord brings those who are his bride, his people, under his blood covenant. And he veils her again. And reminds her of the ketubah. And to make herself ready. They read the wedding cake. These are the Ten Commandments. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us after he had said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. And then he has their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a remission of these things, there is no longer an offering for sin. And this Jesus, he makes the way for us under the huppah, under the tabernacle. The huppah is his tent, the tent of Mishkan, the huppah of the presence of the Lord, the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithfulness, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10. Oh, 11 through 25.